Welcome to the third part of the Free Yourself from Wine with Ease and Joy online course. You have now not only freed yourself from alcohol, but also created routines that support your well-being and your new life. As your recovery progresses, you will slowly begin to get to know yourself again. This section will give you tools for this process. To start with, we'll look at the root causes, the reasons why alcohol became a problem. It is important to know and identify those causes so that you can do something about them. So, let's get to the bottom of it. Finding the root causes is really important for us to move forward in our recovery. Recovery begins when we face the things we used alcohol to escape. Addiction is usually caused by difficulties in dealing with distressing emotions. They are suppressed with alcohol or doing things that make you feel better momentarily. So, you have probably used alcohol to escape certain feelings, and some things have triggered those feelings. However, feelings and traumas don't go away. They resurface whenever they get the chance. They don't go away by themselves unless we deal with them. When you stop drinking and start recovering from addiction, you will have the space and strength to start working with your feelings and life experiences. So you start to heal. At the beginning, you may be very tired and you'll lose energy for whatever daily obligations you have, but at some point, you'll definitely have the energy for this work. As the recovery progresses, you start to deal with, for example, experiences from your own childhood, or some trauma or loss that happened some time ago. It doesn't have to be an unpleasant experience at all. It can actually be really empowering and wonderful. We all have emotional blockades, which manifest themselves as strong feelings that feel too big for the situation. In difficulty regulating our emotions so that we can get carried away or we can run away from them. Difficulty in recognizing one's own emotions, the feeling can be so strong that one cannot get a grip on it. What is this? What is the reason for this? Difficulty in acting in a way that feels good. So we may act in a way that actually makes it worse. For example, drinking alcohol and numbing difficult feelings. As harmful behavior, this can include hurting others or oneself, causing trauma to others, or using substances like alcohol to numb feelings and invalidate oneself in that state. As recurring difficulties in certain relationships. For instance, if you notice that despite changing partners, the same problem always arises, it usually indicates an emotional block that is being repeated unconsciously. As we recover, we begin to develop our emotional skills. This is certainly quite automatic in part, because we probably have such recovery mechanisms built in. But we can also consciously develop and speed up this process. Emotional competence is the ability to recognize, articulate, express, and regulate emotions. Emotional skills are one of the most important mental health skills. For this reason, mothers and fathers of young children are encouraged to articulate their children's emotional states to help develop their emotional skills. We understand ourselves and our actions better when we dare and know how to listen to our own feelings. Why do I feel this way? Where on the body do you feel the sensation? How does it feel? Emotional skills help you to identify your own needs, act firmly when your limits are about to be overstepped, build effective relationships, take care of your own well-being, and build a life that looks like you. In other words, these emotional skills are absolutely crucial in this recovery work and in creating a new life that suits you. Quite often, especially women who have developed an alcohol addiction, have difficulties in drawing boundaries. In other words, in drawing their own boundaries. That is what we are now beginning to practice. If you don't have enough emotional skills, your emotions will guide your life instead of you making conscious choices about the direction you want to take. This is exactly what you may have done, which is that when you have had an unpleasant feeling that you have not been able to deal with, you have ended up as an adult escaping it with alcohol and have not been able to stop yourself. This has happened every time you have consumed alcohol, even though you had decided not to drink. Every time you have broken a promise to yourself, it has been because you were unable to intervene. But the wonderful thing is that emotional skills are skills, so they can be learned even if the foundation is laid in childhood. How you learn to recognize, express, and regulate your emotions in childhood affects how you cope with difficult times in life, how you relate to other people, and how well you feel about yourself in general. We are not all equal in this. Some people are born into a slightly better equipped emotional family. All emotions are allowed, and no emotion should be hidden because it can fester within us. It drains us of energy and creates a bottomless pit. And now you can start to listen to what emotions you have been escaping with alcohol. Emotional blocks date back to childhood and adolescence. Most, if not all of us, have experienced situations in childhood and adolescence where our emotional needs were not met. You may have felt that you were the wrong type, too loud, too temperamental, or too sensitive. Your parents' own moods may have influenced how they were able to deal with your feelings. It may be that some feelings have not been allowed, and then your parents have ordered you angrily into your own room, where you have been left to cope with a difficult emotion on your own, and have learned that the emotion is worth hiding because it is not allowed. For example, in an alcoholic family, children are usually forced to take responsibility too early, and the whole family lives on tiptoe, listening to the alcoholic's emotions and forgetting their own. You may have experienced one of the following from your parents. You have not been loved, accepted, valued, or cared for as you would have wished. You have been hurt, belittled, or ignored. For example, crying may have been forbidden in your family, and if you have been sensitive to crying, and especially if you are male, it may not have been accepted. And then again, for a girl, it may not be so acceptable to show anger. You haven't got your own space or your own things to do. You haven't been given that kind of freedom of choice. It's all dictated to you. You have had to adapt and be too much for others and their feelings. This is common in a family where the parents themselves have mood swings and possibly some addictions. In an alcoholic family, for example, the rest of the family is forced to forget their own feelings and tiptoe around that one, or two if both parents are alcoholics. Often, in fact, alcohol addicts have a family history of alcoholism. Although there is talk of it being a genetic trait, no alcoholism gene has actually been found. But it could be that the emotional world in alcoholic families is one that is then inherited. This is how you strengthen your emotional skills. Pay attention to your feelings. Listen to your feelings. Can you identify and articulate them? If you don't know how to identify emotions very easily, use the emotion map to help you and practice. On the page of this course, you will find a link to the emotion map. Do you have forbidden emotions that you don't want or don't allow yourself to experience? These are exactly the emotions you need to focus on when you're unpacking the emotional blocks. So emotional block was the reason why alcohol became a problem in the first place. It could be that you were forbidden to express certain emotions as a child, and that's why they became forbidden. Now give yourself permission to express these unpleasant feelings too. Also think about how you can do this without harming yourself or others. Anger is one of the most common emotions that run. that is denied, especially to young girls. Sometimes it may be that showing emotions at all has been a taboo. In other words, you are not allowed to show emotions in the family. And sometimes that there may not be room in the family for your own feelings, the child's own feelings, and expressing them. And later, the child learns that you can regulate those feelings by running away from them and then later numb them with alcohol. So it's important to feel all the emotions raw through. And when you do that, the recovery begins and you become stronger. Soon you will know that you can face any emotion without acting against yourself. In Free From Wine book, Mari Tiira tells her story, and she had been sober for a year when her child died. She was still nowhere near a relapse because she was dealing with her feelings, and even said that grief is a completely different feeling from, say, depression. You can feel other emotions in grief, and it comes in waves. It is not always possible or desirable to express our feelings freely. So if you are with other people, you can't go on a rampage, or at least it won't lead to anything good, or crying, or doing anything now. But then you should do the Scarlett O'Hara. So you register the feeling, you say, yes, I'm aware that this feeling came up, you postpone dealing with it, I'll think about it tomorrow, and then deal with it when it's a better time, when you're alone or with a trusted person. I myself adopted Scarlett's I'll think about it tomorrow method at a very young age. And it does work, and it really doesn't mean that you have to hide or deny or forget those feelings, but that you deal with them at a better time. Treat yourself like a best friend and pay attention to your inner voice. How do you talk to yourself? Self-esteem is the foundation of emotional skills. Appreciating yourself enables you to be willing to listen to your own feelings and receive their immediate messages. You no longer belittle yourself or your feelings. Pay attention to your inner speech and correct it if it sounds bad. Talk to yourself like a best friend. And remember the self-compassion we talked about earlier. Treat your emotions as communicators. Emotions always have something really important to tell you, and they tend to steer you in the right direction in life. As long as you drank your emotions down, you couldn't grow and live a life suits you. You silenced your own inner voice and sort of banged your head against the wall until you found your rock bottom and you couldn't bang your head against the wall anymore. Now that you are free of alcohol and hopeful, you will grow and develop and make your life more like you. You built such an everyday life that you won't have to run away from it. Then I present a Soberisti method of breaking the emotional block, the self-pity day. This is a method I developed myself, and it works very well, at least for me. And the feedback is that it works for others too. Try a self-pity day, where you allow yourself to wallow in some emotion you used to escape with the help of alcohol. It might be sadness, it might be anger, or even both. You have to find that feeling yourself, and then you wallow in that feeling for the day. It doesn't have to be a whole day, but it does have to be a day where you're focusing in that feeling and milking that feeling until you feel better and light. Cry if you cry, scream if you feel like it, and milk the feeling until there is nothing left to milk. Let the feelings out, accept them and experience them. And when this work is done, at least for me, I feel really relieved and often even laugh at the end. The next day, when I wake up, it usually turns out to be a great day. I feel really good, energetic, and I get a lot done that day. It's like I feel cleansed. And in fact, when you face those emotions boldly, they don't become such bogeymen anymore. A day of self-pity is best done when you are alone at home. So it might not be a good idea to do it in front of the kids or your partner. Forgiving and asking for forgiveness is liberating. Forgiveness is also a process, and its duration is individual. We really should practice forgiveness for ourselves and for each other. That is, forgive ourselves, be self-compassionate, and also forgive the other person who has mistreated us. That forgiveness does not mean denying or rejecting wrongdoing, events, or losses in the mind. And you don't have to accept and forgive the act, but forgive the person. Forgiveness can and should be given even when the other person does not ask for it. Then it is worth seeing the object of the anger, the wrongdoer, as a human being who was once a child and who has his own emotional challenges. You can understand that if it's your parents, for example, he couldn't do better and forgive. You don't have to accept what they did or keep that person in your life anymore, but you're doing yourself a really big favor if you forgive and let go, and then feel how that feels in your body and mind. Another option is to write a letter, and you don't have to send it anywhere, but write a letter to the person you forgive. Forgiving and asking for forgiveness makes you feel better and frees you to let go of past events. It lets you move on. Nothing is more difficult than apologizing, except the act of forgiving. And both skills are still worth practicing. It makes you feel really, really incredibly good when you've apologized and forgiven. Do it for yourself. For example, I started when I was expecting my baby at under 30. I started doing forgiveness work for my own father who, in the recession years in 90s, drank and kind of ruined my high school years and certainly caused a lot of trauma to our family. But knowing his own childhood and knowing that he himself had a lot of trouble with his emotions, it made it easier to forgive him. Even though I don't forgive what he did, he acted very wrong to me, my brother, and my mother. I can see why he acted the way he did, that he couldn't do better, and I forgave the person. It released a heavy and bitter lump from within me. I was then able to start growing into a more positive self. Well, now it's time for another mission. Start listening to yourself and your feelings. And you can also write them down in the notebook you introduced at the beginning of the course and keep a diary of your feelings. When you have a moment of weakness, and certainly in the early stages and during the first year you will have them and you crave alcohol, then listen and try to find the feeling that you want to escape at that moment. Little by little, as you do this work, you will begin to discover the root causes of your emotional blockages. And then you can begin to forgive and let go of the past and be free of alcohol permanently as you deal with the feelings that drove you to drink in the first place. Forgive yourself. And forgive the person who caused your mood swings. Apologize if you have mistreated someone yourself. It's really hard, and as I said earlier, forgiving is actually even harder. But when you give and apologize, it makes you feel so much better. That's where the freedom comes from. Here we go. This first stage of the third part is now over, and in the next part, you will learn how to set boundaries without any drama.